Psalm chapter 9, verse 17. The Bible says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." You know, hell is still a real place. The lake of fire still exists. Souls are in eternal torment in that place this morning, wishing against every hope that they've got they could get out of there and have one more chance to be in a human body and trust Jesus as their Savior. That's what's happening in hell this morning. We preach that out of Luke 15 about the prayer requests from hell, and they don't want anybody to come to that place. As we preached that parade route yesterday and gave out the gospel for however how many different times it is now and handed it, by the way, we praise the Lord, over 900 tracts went out in those two parades. Praise God for that. 900 people held in their hand the answer to their eternity if they didn't already know it. Thank God for that. I hope, I only saw two in two parades, but I only saw two laying on the ground. So 898 people. No. But in all seriousness, we need to pray. I pray before that, I hope you do too, that God would take that seed as it's sown and let it find good ground in the hearts of those people. But we ought to be praying days after that. God, if somebody listened, if somebody paused, and if somebody thought about that and somebody considered you, God, keep working on their heart. God, convict them. And so the wicked shall be turned into hell. It's a reality. Why do we go out there and build a parade float? It's not to win first place or to win any place. It's not to have somebody say, "I like your flag." It's none of those things. We go out there and build those floats and ride through town to preach the gospel, because the reality is if those people don't get saved, they'll go to hell when they die. And we don't want that, but more than that, Jesus doesn't want that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he reminds us here, God reminds us in Psalm 9, because God's a righteous God and he's a just God and he's a true God and he's a faithful God. He reminds us the wicked shall be turned into hell, and he adds, "and all the nations that forget God." We think down through the time of human history, and we think about some of the great empires of the world and some of the great countries that have existed, and my mind just immediately goes to England. I thank God we have missionaries in England that are preaching the gospel. And you know what? The gospel's been out of that country, it seems like, for so long, or in such small quantities, that it's no wonder they can go over there and preach and people get saved and they're glad to be released from the bondage of their sin. We praise God for that. But do you understand, England hundreds of years ago was the center that America is now for world evangelism. They were the center for Bible production. They were the center for Christianity. And it all went away. And America has kind of taken that position now, and God's blessed America, and God's given us Bible-believing churches in this country, and we have religious liberties that we can come this morning and worship according to this Bible and preach the truth of this Bible, God's inerrant, infallible, perfectly preserved and inspired word, and we can preach it without fear of the government walking in here and saying, "You can't preach that." You understand, our neighbor to the north, it's now illegal to mention certain things this Bible preaches about. And if we don't get on our guard, and if we don't do what this tells us to do today, this message tells us to do today, that will be America in a generation. And so may God help us to use the liberties and the freedoms and the things that we have now that he's preserved for us to be able to live a life that pleases him and to be able to preach the truth and to give out the gospel and to live a life that's void of offense toward God. And so the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I want to add verses 19 and 20. They're just good verses in the context. The Bible says, "Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail." You know, that'd be a really good prayer for today. And he goes on to say, "Let the heathen be judged in thy sight." Verse 20, "Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." That'd be a great prayer for you to add to your prayer time, praying for this country and praying for the leaders of this country. God, remind President Trump he's just a man. God, remind J.D. Vance he's just a man. God, remind Nancy Pelosi she's just a woman. Remind Schumer he's just a man. God, remind Tucker Carlson he's just a man. God, remind Putin. Remind Kim Jong-un. God, remind the Prime Minister of Canada. God, remind all of these people that you've put into power that, God, they're just men and that you're the God of all nations. This would be a great prayer to pray. Boy, when people start thinking they're God, God has to remind them real quick they're not. And this country in America and Spring City Baptist Church, God, help us not to forget him. You say, well, preacher, I could never forget God. But the nation that God blessed above all nations forgot him. And if they can forget him, if Israel could forget him, you and I are susceptible to forgetting him. So let's pray this morning, ask God to help us as we get started. We'll look at this today as a good reminder. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you for all these folks that came through the door at Spring City Baptist Church, or they could be anywhere today. It's on the shadow of a holiday, and Lord, we're glad that they're here and they've made the effort, and Lord, I pray that you'll reward them and bless them for doing so, and that you'll speak through me to the heart of your people today, that your word would have free course and be glorified in this sanctuary just like it is in heaven. I pray that we'll mix the preaching with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives, and Lord, that the preaching would be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power this morning. Lord, thank you for your goodness to this country. Thank you for your manifold blessings. Lord, you daily load us with benefits. And Lord, you've been so good to this group at Spring City. Lord, you've been so good to this church. And Lord, we certainly need your blessings to continue. God, we certainly need your power to continue to be upon us. And Lord, we want to please you in all that we say and do. And I pray that we'll be faithful witnesses for you. Lord, I pray that we'll be quick to praise you and to magnify you and to glorify you as we're going to see this morning to talk of all your wondrous works. And Lord, I pray that there be nobody in this sanctuary, nobody under the sound of my voice over the radio today that would ever forget you or ever turn their back on you or, Lord, ever walk away from you. You've been so good to all of us, Lord, and none of us deserve it. And we thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for being an inviting God. Lord, you said we could come unto you and cast all of our care on you because you care for us. And we count on that, Lord, and we're thankful for it. And pray you'll bless the morning now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we got to get negative before we get positive this morning. Is that okay? That wasn't very reassuring. As you know, many of the Psalms in this book, many of these Psalms are dealing with Jesus' second advent, his second return, as he said he would do, setting his feet on the face of the earth. And this is one of those psalms. It's about God's judgment. It's about God's salvation of the nation of Israel. And we've mentioned a lot of that here recently. But if you look at the subtitle, it says that the chief musician upon Muthlaban. That's the only time in any of the psalms that word Muthlaban shows up. And when you go look it up, there's not a whole lot of information about it. But the best that I could find that I think is probably the most accurate, that word Muthlaban means the death of a fool. And you would agree with me, I think, this morning that anybody who does not believe in God is a fool. That anybody who would turn away from God, that would be a foolish decision. That for someone to not honor God and worship God and exalt him would be a foolish thing. You say, well, preacher, that sounds pretty stern, right? But see, the Lord said twice in Psalm 14:1 and in Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so God said it'd be foolish to have a position that he doesn't exist, or it would be foolish to believe that he doesn't exist, or it would be foolish to turn and walk away from him and forget about him. God said that'd be a foolish thing to do. And so in this chapter, There's some really high points, but really it's a very sobering chapter and a somber chapter because God is proclaiming and he is prophesying the death of the fools, the death of the wicked. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And so God's judgment and vengeance and deliverance are the primary themes for this passage, but scripture teaches it is foolish to live without acknowledging God. It's foolish to forget God. It's foolish to claim that God doesn't exist. And I think that would fall into the category of what we preached on recently of being willingly ignorant. Amen. Willingly ignorant. Now come with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 this morning. Just want to show you how this happens. Trust nobody here struggling with this. God's a great God. He's a faithful God. He's a righteous God. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't like, and we look at God and say, God, why'd you let that happen? And really, it wasn't that God let it happen. It's that he's there to help you through it. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I wish people understood that today. I wish our country understood that. I get so sick and tired of watching athletes that have religious tattoos all over them get on TV and say, I just want to thank God for helping me win this game. I just want to thank Jesus for helping me hit that home run. And then the next sentence are cursing and using foul language. It just, that doesn't add up. There's something wrong with that. And a Christianity that does not produce a change is a false counterfeit Christianity. And so he says here that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I would say that America is a religious nation, not a Christian nation. He goes on to say, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's people that know the truth, but the truth doesn't change them. We ride those parade routes. I thank God for every person that gives me a thumbs up. I thank God for every person that says, amen, preach it, brother. And you hear it every year, and it's a real encouragement. I thank God for every person that smiles and waves as we go by preaching the gospel. But you know, a lot of those people know the truth, but the truth hasn't changed them. Many of those people have a head knowledge of Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with him, and it makes no difference in their life. And God said, there's some out there that hold the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Well, when God shows you something, you know it, don't you? He goes on to say, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I believe every person born on the face of the earth, God puts into them a knowledge that there is a creator. The creation knows there's a creator. And the creation testifies there is a creator. I hear last night watching those fireworks. I'm not sure that was the best ever. But I'll tell you what, we went home and I took the dog out one more time before bed, and those storms were blowing up. Amen. And that lightning in those clouds far surpassed the town of Lebanon's fireworks show. That lightning in those clouds, I walked back in, I told my wife, she said, how is it? I said, God's showing off his fireworks now. And I'm telling you that God's creation is just so amazing, and it's so humbling. And you get up in those planes and you look down on this earth, and when we're down here walking around looking at each other, we think we're the biggest thing in the world. You get 30,000 feet up and look down, you realize how insignificant you really are. We talk about going on missions trips, and that's a great thing. I think one of the best blessings of going on a missions trip is getting in a plane and looking down at it from sort of God's perspective. I know it's way further up there, but you understand what I'm saying. And we realize just how small we really are in this world. We realize how big God really is. People come up here and visit the mountains of Southwest Virginia and they say, man, you guys live in a beautiful place. Look at God's handiwork all around you. And we just wake up and go to work every day and don't think anything about it. With the fog that sits in the valleys, that's God's handiwork. The sunrises and the sunsets that we get to see over this beautiful scenery, that's God's handiwork. The mountains and the streams and the rocks and the trees, and we're not worshiping the creation. You understand that. But when we see all that, it testifies in our heart. We know somebody had to make that. And that somebody that made that's way smarter than I am. You go to a doctor visit, that's all it'd take to understand that God had to make you. And see how intricate that body is, and how it, if it doesn't work just right, you don't feel very good. Amen. And the thing that holds it all together is the power of God. And so the creation testifies that there is a creator, and God says they're without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, see, there's the knowledge. And then here's the problem. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. That's always a problem, isn't it? That pride of man. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? They became fools. And so God said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And you get to Romans 1, and the fool is not thankful to God. The fool is not acknowledging God. The fool, even though he's got knowledge in him, put in him by his creator, or put in her by her creator, the fool says, I am going to choose to not believe that God is who he says he is. Willingly ignorant. 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I don't have time to go through all this morning to expound upon all this. But God, not only did he put in every man that's born the knowledge of himself and of the Creator, but he's put in every man the desire to worship something. And if they're not going to worship God, they're going to worship something. That's why sports in America is such a dangerous cancer right now. The World Cup going around, and all these guys that can kick a ball into a net, and they're national heroes, and they're worshiped by the masses, and none of those guys ever died on the cross for their sins. None of those guys could create something out of nothing. But man has to worship something, because God put it in him. 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness to lust their own bodies, or own hearts, excuse me, dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You say, now preacher, how does this fit into Psalm chapter 9? The wicked shall be turned in hell into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Because America's going at this at breakneck pace. America has a knowledge of God. We have it on our money. In God we trust. America has churches all throughout this country, like this church, that believe the Bible and that preach the gospel and preach the truth of God's word. And yet they choose, the nation as a whole chooses not to come and hear, and chooses not to believe, and chooses not to be involved for whatever reason. And I'm telling you, America as a nation is forgetting God more and more every year that we exist. 250 years. Praise the Lord for that. But do you know what the percentage of people that identify as atheists is in this country? It's a whole lot higher than it was in 1776. The number of people in this country that believe they came from a monkey and they evolved from something that exploded out in space that nobody can explain and nobody can tell them how long it was. The number of those people in this country is greater today than it was 250 years ago. The number of people attending a church service like this in America is less today than it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. And the population of this nation has exponentially increased. But the desire for God and the desire to acknowledge God and to be around God is diminished with each passing generation. And so what happened in Romans 1 when they did not like to glorify God as God, even though they knew he was God. What'd they do? Well, they changed his glory into idolatry. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. And God said, that'll cause a nation to forget me. And God said, that'd be foolish. That'd be foolish. When you come back to Psalm with me, Psalm chapter 9, I'm almost done with my negativity. We'll get positive here. I just want you to understand, I think everybody does understand this, but I just want you to understand, the nation that you and I live in is turning away from God faster than it's turning to God. And people are still getting saved, but not like they did 50 years ago. Not like they did 100 years ago. Brother Roger, I told you this come up in a sermon one day. Here it is. Roger was telling me down at Cleveland the other night, I can't remember where you were. You'll forgive me for that. But said, at Larry's shop out here. That's right. And said a feller come in and asked Larry for a Mountain Dew or something like that and sat down. He looked at Roger. A feller come in, looked at Roger and said, do you drink? Roger said, no. He said, you smoke? Roger said, no. What was the third one? Oh, something like that. There's a third question. Roger said no. What was it? That's okay. That's all right. That'll suffice. And Roger said no. And the guy looked at Roger and said, you some kind of Christian or something? Amen. That's good. I don't know where I was going with that. Other than our country's turning away from God. And people used to think that those things were sins. And now they don't. They used to think that missing church was a sin, and now they don't. Chew. Yeah, that's right. Chewbacker. Roger said no. You understand, not chewing, not smoking, not drinking doesn't make you a Christian, but I'm glad somebody in the world still thinks that it does. Anyway, we got a country today that's just totally given over to wickedness. Totally given over to idolatry. Totally given over to pleasures and the seeking of pleasures and online gambling and drinking beer and committing fornication and adultery. People don't think anything about that anymore. And so our nation is forgetting God. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 10, if you look at verse 4, the Bible says the wicked, same people, through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. And so you say, Pastor, why do we hold scripture signs every Thursday afternoon? Because the likelihood of those people driving by after work, it's a very high likelihood that all day long they've yet to think about God. Why do we build parade floats and do it year after year with no results or nobody getting saved that you know of? Why do you keep doing that? Because likely, well, they might a little bit differently now, but likely there's going to be people on the side of that road that they've lived all day long and they've planned for the night, they've planned for the fireworks, they've planned for the cookout, they've got the steaks in the freezer, they're ready to go and have a great time, they got their beer in the fridge, and they've not thought about God until the preacher drives by on the float and says, thus saith the Lord. America's forgetting God, but what's the Christian going to do? What are we supposed to do? We're not going to forget God. We acknowledge God. We don't want to forget God. We praise God. So what should we do in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation that's forgetting God? Well, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, don't have to turn over there. Psalm 105, verse 2, and Psalm 119, verse 27, all of those places say this, talk of all his wondrous works. I understand it's a great privilege that I have from God to stand on that parade float and to quote the scriptures as we drive by thousands of people. And you say, preacher, I don't get to do that. If you'd like to, come talk to me. I need to retrain a replacement in case I die. Somebody's going to have to do that. But you say, I don't get to do that. Well, but no, tomorrow probably, well, maybe not tomorrow. You might go to the post office tomorrow. You might go to the bank tomorrow. You might go to Food City tomorrow. And you know what? Every time we go out into public, you have the chance to talk of all God's wondrous works. Every time you bump into somebody in town, you got the chance to talk about God and to remind them about God so they don't forget God. Because there's so much entertainment, and there's so much on social media, and there's so many cares of life that pull at everybody's heart and everybody's mind and everybody's life. It's just so easy to get caught up in just the ins and outs of life and the ebbs and flow of life. And people can go days and weeks and years and never think about God. What's the Christian to do? Remember now thy Creator and talk of all of His wondrous works. Psalm 34, you're right there. Flip over with me a couple pages. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 1, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, all times, all times. That means when good times and bad times. That means when life's easy and when life's complicated. That means when things are going well and things aren't going well. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. What's the Christian to do? Remember now thy Creator. Talk of all of His wondrous works. Bless the Lord at all times. Praise Him continually. Magnify the Lord and exalt His name. And guys, if we'll do that, the country won't forget about God. If you and I'll do that, this community won't forget about God. If nothing else good comes from parade floats and street ministry and radio ministry, if nothing else good comes from it, I know one thing good that comes from it, this community will not forget God. Not on my watch. And I hope you'll say not on my watch too. If the church doesn't do it, who's gonna do it? The wicked shall be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. Well, don't let them forget. Because if they don't forget God, there's a chance they might get saved and miss hell for all of eternity. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord wants. 2 Timothy chapter, again, don't turn to these. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, and Jude verse 5, all say, put the people in remembrance of the things of God. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, you know that's a pastoral epistle, Paul writing to the young pastor Timothy, he says, put the people in remembrance of these things, and he says, the guy that does that will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I know I preach a lot of the same stuff in here, but that's what God told me to do. Just remind you of some things. Don't let you forget some things, amen? And our job is to not let this world forget about God. Now, come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I told you at the start of the message this morning that the country that God blessed the most, the nation of Israel, forgot Him. And that if they forgot Him, America is certainly susceptible to forgetting Him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read a good portion of scripture here as we close out this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says this, Deuteronomy 8, 6, therefore, God talking to the nation of Israel, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. And I understand America is not Israel and the church is not. We get all that. But could you not make that application to America? Look at the beauty of this country. You know, some of the things that all the worldwide travelers have been saying about this country as they come to America to watch those World Cup, they say, this is the most beautiful country we've ever been to. God's blessed this nation. He goes on to say, verse 8, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. I know that's Israel, but you could make the application to America. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. I mean, unless you wanted to, nobody in here has missed a meal in the last month. Unless you wanted to, nobody here has missed a meal in the last 10 years. We've all probably eaten one more meal than we should have. By the way, man, the food was great, these cookouts. Hey, thank you all so much. Just wonderful, wonderful food. I ate too much yesterday. A land, verse 9, wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And he didn't mention it, but coal. I mean, it's sort of been a blessing to this country, hadn't it? When thou hast eaten and art full, watch this now. Verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And I know that's talking about Israel, but America better start blessing God and thanking God for what he's done. 100 years ago, this country went through what's called the Great Depression. And God turned the water fountain off. You know that's all he's got to do again. Send a hurricane across the right place. Send a tornado across the right path. Take down the power grid. That's all he's got to do. Get people's attention. We don't want to forget God and have him have to do that. Amen? Not interested in sitting in my house for 8 days without power again. Hurricane Helene should have been a wake-up call. 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord. You know, they didn't forget God when things were tough. They didn't forget God when they were sick. They didn't forget God when the loved ones died. They didn't forget God when they had trouble in the family and trouble at work. And having been a pastor now for almost 13 years, I can testify to you, that's when most people remember God. It's when they really need him. But no, the nation of Israel forgot God when everything was peaceful. When the bank accounts were full. When the barns were full. When they ate bread without scarceness. When they had more than heart could desire. That's when they forgot God. And we say, boy, God's blessed America, and he sure has. You know the danger in that? The country's liable to forget him. But I want you to watch this. And I would say this, I'm looking at people this morning that are very blessed by God. We all have troubles, we all have difficulties, we all have things that are going on that we wish weren't going on in our lives. But everybody here has got it good. Be better than living in Russia. Be better than living in the Sahara of Africa. I'm glad I'm here. The danger for us as we sit in an air-conditioned sanctuary on padded pews. I was going to say with a full belly, but most of you, it's growled at least once since I've been preaching. But with the prospect of leaving here and going and filling your stomach with whatever you want to eat. The danger for us, we've talked about how good it is to live in Russell County and how good it is to live in Southwest Virginia. And the danger for us is we get so comfortable, we just forget God. And God says, beware, verse 11, that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping his commandments. See how it starts. It starts with a little disobedience. And his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. I was talking yesterday to some of the folks out here at the cookout. Some of the clients that I've been very privileged, I would say, to work for and live in really nice houses, and money's not an issue to them. And I thank God that I've had the opportunity with every one of them. When we finish the project and it's all built and they're all happy, and I just get to say to them, boy, God's been good to you. Because you have to remind people, God's the one that's blessed them. When thy herds and thy flocks, verse 13, multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget, there it is again, the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good in thy latter end. 17, watch now, this is America's danger today. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Can I tell you one thing God has acutely taught me owning my own business? Is that if God does not bless it, it ain't going to happen. If God doesn't touch it, you're wasting your time. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Don't ever forget this, church. Write this upon the table of your heart. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to thy fathers, as it is this day. My friends in America today, if you live a comfortable life, there is no other person that deserves the glory and the power and the honor for that than God Almighty. Don't ever forget that. 19, it shall be if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God. It's the third time he's mentioned it. And walk after other gods and serve them and worship them. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. That word perish is a strong word. It's akin to the wicked shall be turned into hell. It's the word that God says people will miss if they believe upon Jesus Christ, his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. However, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, if you forget me, you're liable to perish. 20, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. That's a national judgment. Because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And every nation that forgets God. So why do we do the ministries we do? So people won't forget about God. Why do we spend the money to buy the billboards and pay the rent? So that there's a testimony in Lebanon, Virginia, across from Lebanon Block, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that God exists and that God will save them if they'll call upon his name. Why every Thursday afternoon do we go out for 30 minutes in rain and sleet and snow and cold and hot and hold a sign that says Jesus saves, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You must be born again, are you? And every other variant that we have. Why do we do that? So somebody knows God exists. Why does this church, and praise God, He gives us the money to keep it on the air. Why did we want a radio station? Why did we want to put the programming on the station we put on the station? So that somebody could be scanning the radio dial and come across somebody singing about God, preaching about God, talking about God, praising God, because they're not going to hear it on the country station. They're not going to hear it on the rock station. They're certainly not going to hear it on the rap station. It has to be something by the church put out there that reminds people God is. And Jesus says, come unto me. He's still inviting. He's still willing to save. Don't let your country forget that.